It is Ruby Martin here from Certification Services in Okdel, and I am joined today by Chris Luce, who is our division chief, and we have a special guest. But before I introduce her, I have to say a couple things here. We're very excited to have a brand new health and safety training for providers. Please refer to the announcement that was sent on 12/20 in 2024, and that was C2403, and it replaces announcement C2202 and C2206. So we have our very first ever podcast guest with us today. And like I said, I'm going to leave you in mystery just for a minute here, because I want to tell a little bit of story. Before I started at Okdel, I was a provider, and this wonderful human came to my programs and did some videotaping for a health and safety training. And I will tell you, watching the process of all of this unfold was magical and inspiring and a little bit intimidating. And that is when I got to know Rebecca Escott, who is joining us today from Better Kid Care. And I'm going to let her introduce herself in a second. But I think it's really important for me to point out the amount of work that goes into putting these trainings together is unbelievable, not only from our team, you know, the operations team who reviews every single aspect of this and goes through it and helps with content and looks at the way things are written, but Better Kid Care and the amount of time Rebecca and her team spent on putting this training together is just unbelievable to me. So I'm really excited to introduce Rebecca Escott from Better Kid Care today as our, again, first ever podcast guest here on the Confluence. And I'm going to ask her to tell us a little bit about herself and her role at Better Kid Care and how you support childcare providers there.
Sure. Hi, Rebecca. Hey, Ruby and Chris, it is my privilege to be here. And I must say, I am celebrating the availability of this course material to be out in the field, because it's been in my computer and on my brain for a long time. And so my job with Better Kid Care is primarily to write course material that's found in our on-demand system. And this is just one of the courses that I worked on. I work on a lot of other things. I actually have something in the mix right now about process art. And, you know, I've done some things about child development. And I always say I kind of work in the bookends. My expertise is in infant, toddler, and out of school time. We write on-demand courses, but we also do things like just like practical handouts and newsletters and things that are available on our website. And my job is to take technical stuff and perhaps tedious things and to make them practical and to make them purposeful. And really, I can't do that without the voice of the providers. So my favorite thing is being in the field, talking to people who are doing the work, seeing the reality of the challenges that they have, and trying to really just make sure that we're getting all the smarts that are out there, packaging them well, and sending them on to people who may be brand new, who might need support. So that's my job.
I think that's so great. And Rebecca, I must say, just watching you in action in the field is really a cool thing, because you know exactly what you need, but you're also open to listening to something different and new and inspiring and exciting. And before we get too much into the content of the health and safety training that you've developed, and as a provider, I know what's in people's heads right now. Why in the world do we have another health and safety training? And why is Okdel doing this? So I'm going to ask Chris, my co-host and my right-hand man, to just kind of speak a little bit to why is it necessary for us to put out another health and safety training at this time?
Sure. So the health and safety training, as everyone knows, we had to do it as part of OCC, or Office Child Care Monitoring, back in 2022 is when we had to really come into compliance. We've updated it a few times. We started it all the way actually back in 2016. We updated it again in 2018 and 2022. From the start to now, it went from a 6-hour training, it was then a 10-hour training. So with this most recent update, the training is broken down into two parts and they are each 3 hours. So the total time involved is 6 hours for the training. But staff can get into the classroom and work unsupervised after completion of part one and mandated reporter training and pediatric first aid CPR. So the intention there was to give providers an opportunity to get their staff into the classroom as soon as possible. If that cuts out 3 hours of training, or really in this case, 7 hours of training, we thought that would be a benefit to them. Now, how this affects providers as a whole, if you were up to date and current with health and safety training, prior to the release of this announcement, you're good. You don't have to take another health and safety training.
This was really a collaboration, like a bunch of people put it in their thoughts, but we recognized, and you all recognized, that every time there was a little piece of something that had to be changed on our team, often it was a new person that would go in and would find like one little piece and fix that little piece. And so it became that course felt kind of like a patchwork quilt, like with some of the language that was, from one author in 2014, or that was grabbed from something that was good. And we just felt like maybe there needed to be an overhaul where you just have one author with all the current stuff.
Makes
And
sense.
so one of the things that's great is that it's mostly new footage. So
That's
you're
great.
going to hear new voices and new images, and we hope it just flows better and it feels better, and it little
Great.
tools that were missing before are now there and stuff like that. So that's part of the why too, is to make it more seamless and organized.
That's really great to hear. So tell us about the new health and safety trainings and how are they different from the previous ones?
Well, the biggest thing is that they're shorter. They're shorter and
Right,
it's
that's huge.
paced. It's paced. It's in 2-3 hour chunks. So you're not going to power complete 6 hours your first day of work and like just not be able to remember anything. And it's new footage. I try really hard as an author to keep real people in mind and to think about the places that I've visited and how something can actually work. And so I believe that every person that takes this is going to see at least one or two examples that match up for them. So I know that out of school time people have to take this and they're going like, why do I need to know about diapering? And one of the realities is in a center, sometimes you get assigned to an infant room with no preparation. So it's good you've at least had that planted in your brain. But I purposely made sure that there's stuff for school agers in here, that there's stuff for infant toddler teachers in there, that there's that the family child care sessions or courses really show family child care. They don't show a center and just say the family child care rules, but they are actually hearing from a person who works with multi-age kids in her own house, in an
And that's a
urban setting.
real special consideration for our family childcare providers and group providers out there. They need to know and be seen. I think that's really wonderful.
So the things that are new and different, there was a great demand and a great interest in having a correct diapering video. So that's in there. There's a new diapering handout that's in there. We spent a lot of time looking very, very, very carefully at the emergency preparedness plans and the tools to support that. So continuity of operations is covered, and I know some people never had like a document to support that. There are pieces in there related to behavior management and transitions. I would say the biggest things that are new are the videos, but there are some other things. Like there's a getting to know you form that we used with infant toddler teachers and family childcare. And I thought this is a very good thing that other people might need, particularly if you're a brand new program. You know, if you're in an established program, you probably already have something set up. But if you're a new program, that would be helpful to you. So there's stuff like that. At the very front of all the courses, there's something called a course companion. And it might not really matter to the brand new employee, but it's going to be super helpful to certification staff, to like a quality coach who might be working with somebody working with a new program. It'll be helpful to a director when somebody says, I don't think that's a rule. Then you can like go and say, no, click on this link. It is a rule. Here's what it says. Or like double checking a wording in case that's helpful. So I wanted to remember that. And also there is in the center courses, there's a note for directors. So we know that the best experience for a new employee is if somebody else is kind of coming alongside them and paying attention to their, you know, first couple weeks of employment. And so that director's document, it's probably one side, one page, or maybe it's one page, two sides, gives like a summary of what's in that course. So even if the director's not going to take the course because they don't need to, they might want to pop into it and just download that document so they know.
That's so great. I thought as I was looking through the materials that you provided, how awesome some of the resources that accompany the training. It was mind-blowing how many are out there. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the resources that you provide within the training? Can you talk specifically about a couple of the videos that might be in the training? I know there's a hand washing.
There is a hand washing one so I also like try to put in things that I learned. So when I was first working in the field and doing training, I really thought that like the rule about 20 seconds was 20 seconds rinsing everything off under running water. I can remember like teaching my kids, make sure you hold your hands under the running water for 20 seconds, you know? And then, right. And then at some point I learned that people got in trouble. I'm like, wait, that's the rule. And I realized that I didn't know the rule right. Like I knew the 20 seconds, but I had it wrong. And so in this video, it talks about it's 20 seconds of sudsing your hands up outside the stream of running water you rinse it. And, you know, so again, those are things that I have learned, like you think you know, and then when you learn something else, you try to do it better. And so that's kind of what we're doing. There's a video about transportation. In the family childcare ones, there are videos talking about how to like do walks in your neighborhood well and be in compliance with that and kind of take advantage of the lovely learning opportunities that might be just down the street, but to do it without
considering safety. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, doing safety. And
is there really one about like how to call a parent when a child is sick?
There is.
That is amazing.
Nobody there is. And it actually features a staff person that, you know, so we had asked, you know, like that's a hard thing for a person to do for the first time. And, you know, sometimes directors do it, but often classroom teachers have to be the ones, and they have the relationship with the family. But if you've never done that before, it's weird. So we try to model some of that stuff in the supervision one, instead of just saying, this is what the ratio is. This is what we do, a like stop and think thing. So I had talked with a person who works with programs when they've been cited, and then they have to go back through the, you know, I'm not sure what the word is called, but they have to go back through and kind of retool and make sure they're doing things well. Right. And she was giving me some situations where people, you know, probably out of the goodness of their heart are just doing something that they don't know it's wrong. And so I built those into videos where I say, you're doing this, you know, like you have to run down the hallway to get, you know, a box of tissue paper that you forgot. Stop and think. will you still be in, you know, compliance in ratio? And again, my hope was that we wouldn't just be kind of spewing information at people, but that we would be helping them to apply things and also to like be really practical about the stuff that they're doing. And I guess another thing that I hold in my brain is often people hire employees and the skills that they bring from their own family setting. So what you would do to diaper your own baby, what you would do to feed your own toddler, what you would do to go to the grocery store with your own one or two kids, those rules and skills don't necessarily transfer to a regulated kind of communal, institutional, certified program with lots of kids. And so sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's hard, right? So I was trying to point out, even though this might seem normal, you're not allowed to do that in a certified center setting or whatever. So
that's so great. And I hear there's printable posters and some handouts.
I love
all of this is true.
For the family childcare one. So this is not in the center one, but in the family childcare one, there's a beautiful poster that talks about kind of the upside of family childcare, and especially that it becomes a person's second home. And we had that and had used it in like conference brochures or something in the past. And I got that translated into Spanish, and it's color, you know, it's four color. And I just hope people that are in family childcare take advantage of that, that they, you know, they embrace it, they hang it up and do those sorts of things. The hand washing one, I think, looks pretty similar, but we went back in and made it more accessible. So for people, you know, it meets new kind of accessibility standards in their graphics. There's a first then handout that is designed to help with transitions. So, you know how that's a technique, like first you have to put away your Legos and then you can go out to, you know, the play yard, or first you wash your hands, then you have lunch, or those sorts of things. And a colleague of mine created that for a very recently launched behavior management or, you know, kind of communication interactions course. And so we lifted that and put it into this one to help people, again, to have a tool so that you don't have to create it. You just have to print it. You know what I mean? You can personalize it. You personalize it to your classroom, but you don't have to come up with it from scratch.
Right. And it's health and safety related, because the less chaos you have, the less likely you are to have health and safety concern in your classroom. So that's really relevant. And there's a what to expect on your first day handout. What is that?
Yes. So
like, seriously, if you're a provider starting in childcare for your very first time, what a great tool that would be.
Yep. And it's again, it's really practical. It says like, is there a place to park?
Really great stuff.
Do I have to bring my own lunch? Must I wear closed-toed shoes? You know, like those kinds of things that if you're doing it all the time, you just know those and you kind of forget that a first-time person. So this is it's in the course. It's written with the new employee in mind, like saying, you can ask these questions of your provider, you know, but we also alert the director to say, if you're hiring somebody and you haven't shared this kind of information, you know, kind of, so it goes back and forth. I was thinking of another thing that was a big priority. There are videos in there about crib spacing and mat
That's
spacing.
So important. Oh my gosh, that's a big concern.
Yeah. And so, particularly the one about mat spacing, I love, because I worked with somebody at the time who was like a quality TA, and we went into a classroom after it was closed in the evening, and kind of looked at the space without any kids in there and just talked about how we could move things around. And I'm hoping that that models for teams a way to do it, you know, kind of a way to think, let's go in there and let's put all our brains together. And she showed just like a really simple, it was just a cardboard strip.
Right.
And it was 24 inches wide, but then she had an additional 12 inches that she could flip out to say, you know, the gold standard is 36 inches. So let's start with 24. Let's make sure we're in compliance with that. And then let's go to 36. And that reminds me that the course really is written specific to Pennsylvania regs.
Right.
So if That's the primary content. Every once in a while, there's something that says, and you might also consider, you know, so there are some extra recommendations for hand washing or, you know, a variety of things that might make it better. But the content is grounded in what must be. That's and it's great. Specific to Pennsylvania. And, you know, that's the mission, right, is to make sure this is right for Pennsylvania. And we recognize that people come with lots of different experiences. They may know like an Eckers standard or a class standard or, you know, a pair, you know, standard. Yeah. But this is Pennsylvania regs. And so I say to employees right in the course, if you're being told to do something that's different from this, there may be a reason. It may be a program rule. You know, Head Start might have a rule that's not really reflected in this.
A STARS or a NACI requirement.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right. So,
don't be afraid to ask for sure.
So do go ask. You know, ask. Yeah. This page says this, but my coworker says I have to do this. What's the explanation? And there might be a really legitimate explanation.
Right. So Rebecca, something else. I can't even tell you how excited I am about this. I hear that this training and resources are in another language. Can we talk a little bit about translation?
Yes. This is so exciting. We are very committed at Better Kid Care to having as much as possible in Spanish. And Octel came to us with that expectation fully in their request. So everything that is presented in the English, you know, the four courses, Center and Group Part 1 and 2, Family Part 1 and 2, are translated into Spanish. And so those are available. And one thing that I point out a lot to people is, even if you are not taking the course in Spanish, or you don't need that for yourself as a staff person in Spanish, think about like that getting to know you form, or think about the behavior breakdowns handout. That's been translated into Spanish. And so if you are serving families who prefer to communicate in Spanish, there may be handouts that are helpful for them to have. And with those Spanish courses, the certificates come in Spanish. And, you know, pretty much everything is in Spanish, okay, with the exception of the voiced parts of the videos. So the voiced parts of the videos are still in English. And you can turn on a translator often when you copy that to help that. But
that's great.
Our experiences, often people get the gist of it with the videos, and they will definitely see diversity within the videos, even though the audio is still English language.
Yeah, that's so great. I'm so glad to see that progression. I also wanted to ask, I noticed the new training videos are 2 3-hour segments. We talked a little bit about that before. What do you think is the expectation of a director in this role? Like, you have a new staff person starting, you sit them down in front of these videos and walk away. Like, what do you see the director's role in making sure that their staff get the absolute best out of this?
Yeah, we hope that's not what happens. We know that sometimes that is what happens. I guess I would hope that there would be communication from a director to a staff person in advance of their arrival at the center for their first day that would talk about some of the things that they need to know that would be welcoming to them, that they would create a space in the staff room where they could hang up their coat or, you know, put their personal belongings so that when they arrive on the first day, that there's a sense that, yes, we've been waiting for you and we're so happy you're here. And then it is helpful to have space where they can concentrate to do the first 3 hours. I have asked in the director's notes for directors to think ahead and have like a staff handbook and a family handbook available, because a lot of times in the trainings it says your documentation may say this, you know. I think we joked about, and then I'm pretty sure we left in, we talked about how this is a possibility that there might be a fire drill on the person's first day. So I really think, in addition to doing like what's on the computer, it's really important to assign somebody to kind of walk them through the building, show them where the bathrooms are, show them where the emergency exits are. I know when I was a faculty member at Northampton Community College, even though I wasn't in a classroom, if there was a fire drill, I had a job to do. And so I think those kinds of orientation are helpful. And directors can't always do it. In the center and group courses, we talk about this like analogy of it from the plant world. And it talks about marigolds and walnuts. And marigolds, if you know anything about garden flowers, they're protective. They chase away insects. They kind of keep down weeds. They're brightly colored. And you often use them as a companion plant in a garden to make sure other plants thrive. And so in these courses, we talk about find the marigolds in your work site. Who are the people that cheer you on? Who are the people that like don't think a question's stupid, but like really take you seriously? Who are the ones who learn your name and say your name and kind of find them? So a director can't always do that, but a director probably knows somebody who could be an encourager. And I think it's smart, if you are really trying to work on retention, to pair this new employee up with somebody else who can kind of just keep them on their radar, keep their pulse. And then, you know, Chris, I think, explained, they take the first 3 hours and then they're able to be in kind of a very active role. And I think learning is more meaningful. Once you're in there, you're going to realize how much help you need to do transitions well, or how much, you know, what's the rule about signing in and out? What's the rule about big body play? And so their brains will be warmed up to what's coming in the second 3 hours. And I frankly, I'd love to have them take it a little bit at a time, you know, like that second 3 hours, do an hour, you know, wait a couple of days, wait a week, do another hour, because you don't have to get it done immediately. Right. It's not effective learning to like read, click, read, click, read, click, read, click, read, click, read, click, print your certificate and be done.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like we really want people to talk about it. We want people to be able to ask questions.
Right. So you said about marigolds and walnuts. Was there a walnut component? Because first of all, we have to make sure the marigolds are non-toxic, and then we have to make sure the walnuts, there's no nut allergies before we can even talk.
That's exactly right, right? Well, right. I'm pretty that's sure marigolds are non-toxic because they can be eaten in salads.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
So I'm pretty good. The analogy for walnuts, I don't stand on too much, because so they are the opposite end of the spectrum. So a lot of times they do create a toxic environment around them. So if you have a walnut tree, a lot of times nothing grows really well underneath them. And in the article that kind of sets up the analogy, and you people could see it in the references, they're honest and they say, you know, nobody's a pure marigold and nobody's a pure walnut. And to try to emphasize the people who are supportive. And I give grace to the walnuts, because, you know, if there's a walnut who's feeling kind of toxic in your environment, it's probably because they've been exhausted or burned out or you know, wounded in some way, but they aren't necessarily the best people to assign to a new employee, you know, so that's kind of something to keep in mind. I don't know if people know this about just kind of some general things. When we're talking about what's new with the health and safety stuff, one thing I notice when I'm talking to people in the field is directors know better kid care from when they started in early childhood. So if you've been in early childhood for 25 years, you know what better kid care was like 25 years ago. And if you started 8 years ago, you know what better kid care was like 8 years ago, because, you know, that's kind of when you took your first things or when you first got assigned to it. And we are really pleased that, you know, we're not a static organization, and we have grown and we've gotten better, and, you know, we're doing things that are different than what we did, you know, 11, 12 years ago when we started on demand. So for instance, people have to watch the videos the whole way through. They can't skip them, you know, and we could see sometimes in the usage that people were trying to do that. And often with the videos, not always, because it's not always meaningful, but often with the videos, there's a required response screen. And once upon a time, they just had to type a letter in the response screen. But now they can't do that. They need to have like a meaningful sentence. And so there's some things like that that really have tried to add more validity to the learning experience. They have to take an assessment. They have to get 80% right on the assessment in order to have successfully passed something. But they can go back and they can check a page before they answer a question if they're not sure. So those are all things that kind of make it more authentic. But then on the flip side, I wanted to make sure everybody knows you can watch anything in Better Kid Care for free.
Love
if you
that.
Don't need a certificate. So if you really just want to kind of get an idea about like a STEM project or behavior management or, I don't know, toilet training or something, you could go to a course and look at the stuff that you need and get it. You can review any course you've taken. You know, if a director wants a particular handout, they can go in and download that handout and use it with their staff. They do not have to pay for the course, complete the whole thing, you know, like those sorts of things. So it serves two purposes. It serves the purpose of getting approved professional development hours, but it also serves as this kind of standing hub of resources and support that you can go to for like just-in-time help. And I don't know that people always know that kind of second role.
Right. And I love the adult learning style kind of knowledge that Better Kid Care has when they put these trainings together, because they're not just made for the audio learner like most classrooms are, you know. I'm a tactile person. Being able to watch those videos is money for me. I can't learn if I don't see the interaction and feel it. So I think that it's really considerate and full of equity for Better Kid Care to design their trainings that way. So thank you for that. Is there anything else you want to say about the way these are designed or the necessity of them before I move to Chris and talk about certification a little bit?
I guess just one last invitation. The only people that are being required to take these courses are new employees after January 1st, 2025, or new owner operators who have not completed, you know, successfully completed an approved course in the past. Consider, especially because it's free, that other staff might benefit from taking it. You know, so there might be merit in having other employees take the Center Health and Safety just to make sure everybody's on the same page, just to make sure that almost to give an excuse to talk about emergency preparedness or you know, there's a scavenger hunt for first aid. You know, maybe people will all want to do that as a part of an in-service day. So
I want to do that. A scavenger hunt, how much fun is that? You know,
it is fun. It's designed as like a little race that you can do as teams if you want.
It's so much fun. Yeah, gone are the days of just looking in the first aid kit. Let's do a scavenger hunt. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, so don't dismiss it as a resource only for a new employee. We want to make sure that directors know that there's a brand new course in our system about, I think it's called Onboarding for Success. Let me see if I can find in my notes. Yeah, Onboarding for Educator Success and Retention. That course is not written for the brand new employee. So it's not something you plunk them down and say, okay, you did your health and safety, now here, do your new staff orientation. That's not what it is. But it's for the director to help them have the tools to have kind of a paced, bit by bit, welcoming and support of the new employee. So it's not there in the health and safety training, but there is support for that. And to just say, you know, again, as much as possible, my hope was that every new employee would see themselves in their setting, in the stuff that they had to take, and that my goal was, instead of getting kind of penalized and yelled at for doing something wrong, that if we put together a good course, they would get it right from the start and they'd know kind of why they were doing it and feel like there was a reason, there was a rationale to do these things, and it wasn't just something being put on them as a rule that didn't make any sense. So that's my hope.
So fun. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Please stick around because, you know, maybe Chris will say something that you want to comment on. But before we get to Chris, I want to put out a huge shout out to Leanne Goodling, who is our professional development coordinator within our certification team. And her diligence in this project was exquisite, if I do say so myself. And I was only watching from third party, right? So she reviewed every section. She cross-referenced the regs. I know that you worked hard on this, Rebecca, and I just want to give that shout out to Leanne because I know that she was in the background and isn't here with us today. So I wanted to make sure she got a huge shout out for the work that she did on this project.
She and I worked intimately together.
Of course, you know, and Chris, like, as well. Yes, and that goes without saying, because I give Chris kudos every single day of his life. So he knows how you know, much appreciated he is. So I just want to make sure Leanne also gets that public comment because she was absolutely essential in this process. So Chris, let's talk about certification and regulation, and what does the announcement say that providers need to do, and when does this start, and all those beautiful little facts that you love to give us.
Sure. Well, and before starting on that, I do want to add that, you know, Leanne also, we had input from certification staff within the regions, supervisors and cert reps that gave us input as well. So this was a very much team effort here. And so I want to, everybody that had any part involvement in it, it was definitely very much appreciated. And there was a lot of time and effort putting in to make sure that we are all on the same page, to make sure that when we're reviewing the videos, we didn't take anything for granted. So when we reviewed the videos from a certification standpoint, we were reviewing to make sure that, you know, it was showing you something that meets our standards, that meets the minimum health and safety standards minimally. So we didn't want to take assumed context that compliance was there. So if we saw something, mainly Leanne and our team, if they saw something that was questionable, for the most part, we asked for things to be removed or edited. And Rebecca, you guys did a great job. And I know at some points we may have been a bit of a pain in your butt, but we all worked together for that one. And I think that's a part of that I'm very thankful for in this process that I
there
think
was some really great discussion too, Chris, during the time. I mean, I remember many discussions about, you know, the interpretation of things. And I think if we're having those discussions, obviously they need to be had. So I'm so glad for this whole process. I think it was really a valuable one. So go ahead, Chris.
You know, and sometimes people will see that too. So like every once in a while, there's a note in a sidebar that will say the electrical outlet that is shown in is, you know, verified as safe because it's, you know, whatever the new design was. But we tried to like preemptively notice and comment on things if they weren't edited out, you know, in case somebody would say, wait, but you're right. There were a lot of things that were edited out that were, you know, a half a second glimpse that still got edited out because we were working toward excellence and towards accuracy. And yeah, that being said, no, everybody's human and every setting is, you know.
When you guys are out there making the video, I'm sure, you know, what you're seeing is quality and compliance. And, you know, when we're reviewing it from just the lens of the camera, I think what I'm proud of from this product is that we made an effort to make sure that we're not taking things for granted. We're not taking compliance for granted. I thought that was I was really appreciative of that effort in this endeavor. So, so moving on to the requirements. So like we've said, it's now a 2-3 hour part, parts one and part two, each being 3 hours, 6 hours total. There is a group and center based module, and there is also a family based module. If as a provider, if you've taken the training, any of the trainings in the past and are compliant, so this announcement was released on December 20th, it'll be effective January 1st. So if on December 31st, you had your health and safety training, all the health and safety trainings that you needed and you were compliant, you won't have to take the new training. But like Rebecca said, I think you should be encouraged to take it. Not only because it's free, but you're also getting 6 hours of professional development. And it's not a recycled version of the training. Everything's new. So you're going to see new topics and everything from that standpoint. So nothing has changed with accounting towards for your professional development. Just the same as the others. The 6 hours can count towards your professional development. And the only instance where it won't count towards your annual professional development hours is if you're taking this training as a new owner or operator to open a childcare facility. You'll have taken the training before you started operating. So that's why, so in that case, the 6 hours won't count because you're not, it's not in your annual year of professional development. So it doesn't count for that.
And I think when you explained it to me, you're like, you're not yet an employee at a certified center. Because right. I was like, wait, and yeah, because if you're not yet open, then you're not yet on your first day of business operations. So that's why it's not in there.
Yep.
So
come January 1st, 2025, Chris, anybody hired at that point or after will need to take this training as part of their orientation process. And anybody hired December 31st, 2024 will be okay having taken the 10-hour previous training.
So January 1st, 2025, all staff have completed any of the previous trainings. So if you're hired, if you have completed those trainings previously and you come on board with those certificates, you would be compliant with the health and safety regulation. Now, you can have your new staff take it, and your new staff will start with 6 hours already. They're already halfway there to their 12 hours of professional development. And really, if you have them take their first aid CPR. That averages, what, 3 to 4 hours? And then you have them take their mandated reporter training, which is another 3. Right there, you have them at their 12 hours. So, that's something to consider as well. A staff person cannot work unsupervised unless they have completed any of the previously approved courses, or if they're taking the new course, they have to complete the first part one. And in addition to pediatric first aid CPR and mandated reporter training. And that mandated reporter training has to be 3 hours. The CPSL, the Child Protective Services Law, requires that training to be 3 hours.
Okay, so first aid, CPR, mandated reporter 3 hour, and part one of the new health and safety training, I can work in a classroom unsupervised.
Yes. Yes, you can.
Got it. Assuming I'm an AGS or higher.
Assume you're an AGS or higher, or
Okay, I
a
just want to
primary
make
staff
sure that we
person
put
or interim.
that in there.
Yep.
Right. Okay, perfect. All right. Anything else providers need to know about this announcement or the contents of it?
I think that's about it. To current staff and staff that have previously taken the health and safety trainings, it's not going to affect you. They're staff, you don't have to worry to bombard the Better Kid Care system to take the training everybody right away by a certain date. You 100% we encourage you to take it, but it's only staff that have never taken a health and safety training or aren't compliant. So a situation, you took the 2016 training, but you never took that 1 hour 2022 update. That 1 hour 2022 update is no longer available. It hasn't been available since September. So you will then have to, the only way to become compliant is you're going to have to log in and take the 6 hour, the new 6 hour, two part 6 hour training.
But it's so entertaining that nobody's going to complain about that. It's awesome.
Right. So
That's
that's
excellent.
if that is something that I know we've received, we've already received some questions about that. If I'm not compliant, how do I get compliant? The only way you're going to be able to get compliant is to be able to take the new training that's mentioned in this announcement. And it will be available on Better Kid Care starting January 1st. And if anybody has begun, logged in and already started taking the 10-hour course, as long as you've logged in and started that before January 1st, so up to December 31st, you can log in and continue to take that 10-hour course. That you'll be able to continue to complete that up until March 31st. So that'll stay open. But starting January 1st, the only courses that are going to be available for you to log in, register for, and take are going to be these two new courses.
That's great. That's good
And
information to have.
I think this is true that if you started something, say you started the 10-hour course, it will not show up in the course list, but it will show up in a course in progress list. So like if somebody goes into the into their on-demand account and they want to finish, say they're 7 hours into it and they want to just finish, they won't necessarily see it in the list of available courses, but if you go into your courses in progress, they will be able to find it there. But somebody who hasn't started it will not be able to find it in their list as of January 1st.
Great. Well, Rebecca, you have been the best first guest this podcast has ever had. So happy to have you here. And again, Chris has said it earlier, and I want to say it again. Thanks to every single person on our CERT team, Leanne, for all their hard work and diligence in reviewing this content, and Rebecca and everybody on your team at Better Kid Care. This training is very well done, and I'm so stoked for the provider world to see it. And of course, we look forward to any questions that any provider has, or feedback, information, anything as we progress through the 2025 season with this new training. Anything else in closing, either one of you want to add?
Just thanks for having me, and I share your enthusiasm for it, and I hope that the providers will find it to be helpful.
Oh, I'm sure they will. They absolutely will. All
Great.
Right. Have a happy 2025, everybody. We'll see you very soon.
All right. Thank you.